Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Crossroads. For more information, visit us online at crossroadsny.org.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. And I got to tell you, I missed you last week, but I knew you were in good hands. I'm so thankful. I know I heard Danny did a great job, as we knew he would, so we were real thankful for him. Now, today we are continuing this march through the fruits of the Spirit, this study of something so important, so critical to the Christian life. You know, I think it's possible to go to church. You have 52 Sundays in a row. You could be involved in five ministries, and you could give your last dollar, but you could actually miss the boat. You can miss what it's all about if you're not living according to the Holy Spirit. If you're not led of the Spirit, you can miss the whole thing. See, we want to be led by God's Spirit, because then if we're being led by His Spirit, that means just what we sang just a moment ago, that with our soul, it is well as God directs our life. That needs to be the anthem of our life. And so as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we're talking about this biblical command to be led of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, our lives could be led by numerous factors. I realize that as a fellow human being who allows nonsense sometimes to lead my life. But when we are being led of God's Holy Spirit, it's then that we are clicking on all cylinders. It's then that we are living life at maximum spiritual capacity. It's then that we are following through, just as the New Testament tells us to as believers, to run the race with endurance, to finish well, and to fight the good fight of faith. And this is made possible by surrendering unto God and living the way that He intended us to be, the abundant life that Jesus spoke about, when we are led of God's Holy Spirit. However, life is filled with pressures. You have any pressures in your life right now? Okay. We all do. Pressures pull at us. And those pressures usually pull us away from this perspective of living the Spirit-led life. In fact, much of life could be illustrated by something you learned about in school, a bar graph. How many know what a bar graph is, okay? Bar graph goes up, and sometimes it goes down. I think that categorizes our spiritual life at times, and our life in general with the people we love. We go up, and we go down. Perhaps even on your way to church this morning, you were experiencing that bar graph type relationship, or that bar graph type mentality. I'm up and then I'm down. Now, much of this mentality could be contributed to our circumstances. We allow our circumstances often to control us. But as we know, being a Christian doesn't mean we pretend like everything's okay, although some advocate for that type of faith. Hey, everything's okay. No, it's not. Your life could be falling apart around you, but some corners of teachings will kind of encourage you to pretend that it doesn't exist. Well, that doesn't help a problem or a pressure. Actually, what gives great strength to your life and often brings answers to our deepest problems is giving Christ control of our circumstances. Now, thankfully, this is God's will for us, that we would come before Him. We're told repeatedly in Scriptures in different ways, come that He will give us rest, not just any rest, but rest for our souls. We're told to cast all our cares upon Him. Another verse tells us about that we're to come and present whatever needs we have with supplication and prayer, and let our requests be made known to God, and His peace will guard our hearts and our minds. That same peace that surpasses all human understandings. A blanket statement by God for us to follow through on. Now, this provision of being Spirit-led and being led of God is not man-manufactured. It's not something that we can humanly ascend to. Rather, it is a provision of God Almighty. See, as you and I transfer trust into Jesus Christ, all by God's grace, and we put our faith in the saving work of Christ on the cross, that is just as Paul said to the church at Colossae, it's in Him alone that we have this redemption. As we put faith in that alone, in His work on the cross, and the power of the empty tomb, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your soul and in your life. And it's at that point that we begin to lead, and we're given the opportunity to lead this Spirit-led life. Because living the Spirit-led life means that we are a new creation in Christ. And as we are a new creation in Christ, we begin to bear the fruit of it. Old habits get thrown away and we adopt some new habits. Lifestyle change begins to happen. We begin to change certain areas of our life that we thought we could never have victory over. God is at work in our life. And as we surrender ourselves more to God, as we're more Spirit-led, we find Him working in our lives. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Galatians along with two-thirds of the New Testament, said it this way. He said, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Galatians 5:18, it's our key verse for the series. In other words, there is a clear difference, Paul is saying, between being led of God's Spirit and being led in your own strength. Now, don't get me wrong. You and I can do a lot of things in our own strength. We can do a lot of great things in our own strength. But the problem is that has a short shelf life. See, even with the daily grind of life and the pressures that come our way, our own strength only goes so far. And then throw in the fact that when the going gets tough, we usually get going because our strength only goes so far. And so we need to depend on God Almighty, and that's not a statement of weakness. That's actually a statement of true strength when we can place our trust in God. And so the Spirit-led life is a life that puts its trust fully in God and allows the fruits of the Spirit to manifest itself in our lives. So you will waste a lot of time, as will I, spinning our wheels if we try to do this on our own in our own strength. That's exactly what Paul is saying. It's not under the law because the law is legalism. The law has no power over sin, has no power over our problems, but the Spirit does. And so how do you know if you're living a Spirit-led life? Well, a few verses later in Galatians 5:22, Paul gives us what we've been studying, the fruits of the Spirit. And we're taking one by one. We're picking them, no pun intended, right off the tree each week. The Apostle Paul says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit..." Why don't you say these with me? They're so beautiful to say. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." In other words, to save you the backdrop here, there is no way on the face of this earth that you and I can manufacture that which the Spirit can do in our lives. And I'm thankful for that, because if I was able to manufacture my own love, my own joy, my own patience, my own kindness, my own self-control, and as we're going to study today, peace, I would find a way to mess it up and lose it. And so would you, because we're human. But this is a God-driven system, not a religious system. See, in our own strength and the law, it's a religious system. Or it's positive thinking. That's a big teaching today in certain circles of faith. Positive thinking. It's going to come your way. Blab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. You say the blessing. It's out there. You just got to reach for the stars and get it. And the sun will come out tomorrow. Well, that just doesn't work on Monday morning. But what does work in the face of trials, what does work in the face of temptation, what does work in this life, even when things are going great, is that when you are led of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit begin to produce in your life, and they're evident because it's a God-drive system. And so today, we're up to peace. How many of you, let me just by a show of hands, how many of you would love to have peace in their home? Okay. All right, sure. Peace in your life. Peace in your mind. How many of you felt like you were going crazy so far this month? It's only 2 days old a month. Okay, sure. Sometimes we don't ever want to talk about those things. Can't talk about that. You got to have faith. You know, well, we understand we got to have faith. But we also have problems. We need peace. We don't need just any peace. See, to put this in a world's context for you, much of the world's history is a story of conflict. Okay? Check this out. During the past 5,560 years, there have been approximately 15,000 wars. Large and small. The story of conflict as you look at it. As we sit here together this morning and spend time together, there are at least three dozen large or small wars going on around the world. We human beings don't seem to get along with each other, no matter how much we try. We're far better, it seems, at disagreeing, feuding, and fighting with one another. It just seems we're good at that for some way. We just are bent on that, on nitpicking and being critical, and then even on a national level of envying. You know, a century ago, what was the popular sentiment in world politics? Let's educate. And if we educate, that'll be the way to peace. And then what happened? The two world superpowers that were educated, two world wars later, that idea vanquished. You know, we don't educate people to find peace. Some of the most brilliant people in the world are sitting in a prison somewhere, okay? See, transformation has to happen within the heart. And only God can bring that transformation. Nothing else. And so if we want peace in the world, we want peace in our homes, we want peace in our hearts, we need God and we need to depend on Him. Because what's the biggest thing that people always say? Ray, I want the peace of God. Well, that's putting the horse before the cart. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. Big difference. And so as Paul talks about here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, as he unleashes yet another fruit, that a fruit of being Spirit-led is that you are a person that has peace in their life regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the tension that exists in your life. Peace is a part of who you are. You respond to troubling situations with peace. You respond to success with peace. You respond to temptation with peace. You are grounded. You are stable. You are resolute. Why? Because you are a friend of God and you are walking with Him and you are led by Him. And this is God's will for all of us. But then how do we see this? How does it work in our lives? How does peace work then? Well, I want to give you a biblical context here. Write this first principle down. If tranquility and peace depends on having peace with God, write this first principle down. Peace results by getting right with God. You have to get right with God. And I want to look at this in two areas. How do you get right with God? Well, first, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you're standing on the wrong side of the cross. You know, if you're constantly letting doubt control you and YouTube and the History Channel define your level of spiritual intelligence, I have some property on Mars I want to sell you after the service. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun with you. I love you. I'm just kidding. But if you're letting other non-substantial so-called forms of theories, you're letting theories run and guide your life, guess what? It's producing more conflict and less peace, no peace in your life. What a waste of your energy. God hasn't created you for that. He says, come seek and find. Come, let's reason together, He says. I can make you white as snow. Come, you know, put the Lord to the test. Search His Word. See the validity of His Word. See the claims of Jesus. See that not only the Bible, which is our main source of belief, but history, archaeology, even science supports the record that we hold to be true this morning today. But the biggest reason to get right with God if you never have before, and you may not think, oh boy, I can't believe he's going to say this in church, but why not? Because you're a sinner just like I am. Not to talk about being a sinner in church is the equivalent to being bleeding and going into a hospital and the emergency room pretending you're not bleeding. That's the equivalent of it. The truth of the matter is all of us are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need to get right with God. So once we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we get right with God and we stand justified before God Almighty. Now, while you can never lose the Holy Spirit of your salvation, you can, and you and I like to do this, we can go off the path. And we can do our own thing. We can blame everybody for it. We can have a pity party. We'll send out invitations. At the end of the day, it's our problem. We need to deal with it. And when we go off course, guess what happens? Our peace begins to fade away. Now, God hasn't faded away, but our eyes are off Him. They're not on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we're not right with God. Fellowship has been broken with God. And so today, you might need to get right with God. You might need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's no magical potion. There's no magical prayer. You just need to believe that God's Son is who He said He was, and that He died on a cross and rose from the dead, and admit that you're a sinner, And if you already prayed that prayer, but you are lacking this fellowship right now with God, you need to confess your heart back to God and say, God, I rededicate my life unto you. Peace results by getting right with God. In fact, every week you should look to get right with God. Every day before your head hits the pillow or wherever you put your head, you should get to your knees if you're physically able to and make sure, God, are we right? You know, a lot of times in a relationship, sometimes you have to have the are we okay talk, okay? We need to have that with God. Now, we know he's okay. We know he's not the problem. So we're eliminating 50% of the guesswork here. And then let me help you out with the other 50%. It's you. There you go. I just took out a lot. Men, I saved you a lot of hair. And ladies, a lot of sleepless nights. I just solved a lot of problems right there. It's us. We need to go right to God. We need to get right with him. Now, when we talk about getting right with God, there's usually some misconceptions that exist with this. Let me give you one of them here. Peace is possible through religious practice. Okay, I need to get right with God. So, okay, what steps do I got to take? Is there a missing sacrament? Do I need to give extra in the offering? What do I got to do? And that is a great word to describe religion, do. Let me give you a great word to describe Christianity, done. It's been done for us on the cross. We need to start living for Christ. As we said earlier, a good theology of the Holy Spirit is not, oh, I got to get more of the Spirit, so let me do this. No, I got to give myself more to the Spirit. That is the proper understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so peace is not possible through religious practice. That's a waste of your time. Rather, peace is permanent through relationship with Christ. There's a great verse that describes this. It's found in Romans chapter 5. The same author, Paul, he writes this. You know, the book of Romans, Romans 5:1, if you get that ready there in your notes, the book of Romans is the book in the New Testament that's filled with the most doctrine. And we mean by doctrine is just pure study of God, pure theology. Theology, theos is God, ology, the study of God, pure theology. But then the other 50% of the book is application of that theology. And it's the idea what a waste it would be to know these glorious truths of the faith, to know about the source of peace but not yet live it out. This is what Paul said to the believers here in Rome. He said, therefore, since we have been justified, go ahead and underline that word in your program there. Since you have been justified by faith. Well, faith in what? Faith in the lottery? Faith in your good looks? Faith in your spectacular religious record? Faith in your knowledge because you just know so much more than the next person? Faith in how big your Bible is? Know what? Faith in how charismatic I am or how reverent I am? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. See, we don't just put that on the back burner. That is the substance of life. Therefore, since we have been justified. Now, justified means that when God looks down upon you, he doesn't see sinful old you. You stand justified. It's like a court legal term. You are justified in the court of God because of what Christ has done on the cross. And so therefore, since we have been justified ultimately by Christ because of faith in Christ, notice what comes after that. We have what? Peace. Finish it with me. With God. Again, before we get to the peace of God, which everybody and their grandmother wants, first we got to make sure we have peace with God. That is essential. And that is where most of the world misses the boat. We sing songs about peace, we hold hands and sing, and they have ecumenical services, and they go to great lengths to talk about the peace of God, but nobody's seeking peace with God. And we certainly don't have laws that would say that we as a nation want peace with God. Actually, probably would say the opposite if you look at things today, if you look at the scorecard now. So all the more, we must be people who are pursuing peace with God. As a believer, you're pursuing your fellowship with God. And you know, as we said before, the most important commodity in any relationship is time. And we must be with God. We must spend time with God. I commend you for being at church each week. This is the most important hour of your week. It's a table setter. It's not the end all. I pray that you have an even greater Bible study tomorrow in your own time with God, a prayer time. I mean, you could just spend 15 minutes alone praying for the troubles of other people. I mean, spending time with God is essential to your fellowship with him. Therefore, since we have been justified, we have peace. Now, circle the word peace in your outline. And the original word for peace is Irene. Now, how many know the name Irene? Okay, everybody knows Irene, right? So say Irene. Say it a little bit better than that. Okay, well, that's better, okay? All right. I feel like I'm in preschool here together. Irene, very good. Now, Irene is the Greek word for peace that we're studying here. It's the same word in Galatians. It's the same word in the verse in Romans and the rest of the verses that we will study this morning. And this means having it all together or having it guarded. Speaking of a provision, that there's some provisional care that's guarding, and you know it. You're confident in that. That's what peace means. It means having it together. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. It just means that in the midst of, in whatever context you look at it, that in the midst of a trial, you have it together. Or in the midst of a storm, you have it together. In the midst of success, you have it together because you're being guarded by God. And so therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have it together with God. We're together with God. We're in partnership with God. We're connected to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this peace with God. Now, the understanding of Jesus and peace has always been a part of God's plan. What was the third announcement the angel gave to those gypsy shepherds when Jesus was born? He told them. And we find it out in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This is what it says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is well pleased. What's one of the famous titles of Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And so God is the source of this peace. As we have peace with God, if we've never placed our faith in God and in Christ, we have peace with him. We agree with God that we're a sinner. That's what repentance means. Repentance isn't some bad word. It's a word, God, I agree with you. I agree that I need to turn the ship around. I agree I need to follow you. And as a believer, there are going to be times in your life when you could be doing something or living in a certain way or whatever, and it's not of God. And God isn't a cosmic cop in the sky looking to write you a ticket. He's a loving Father. We love because he first loved us, we found out a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about him as he's the source of joy. Well, how could these things possibly, you know, take root in our lives if we're constantly choosing things that are going to make us very unpeaceful, if we're choosing conflict on top of conflict? Now, there are certain what I like to call peace thieves in our life, okay? Nobody likes a thief, okay? There are certain things that rob your peace, and I want to tell you about them so you could do something about it today. I want you to be able to leave here today with the tools to do something about it. Number one, peace thief, I feel like we're on Family Feud here. Number one answer, okay? Guilt. Oh, guilt, oh boy. Guilt will torture you. Now, guilt could be your friend. Guilt will, as I told you before, will lead you to your knees and you confess your sin and God doesn't hold it no more. He don't hold it against you anymore. You know that verse where it says he thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness? I told the late service 2 weeks ago and he posted a no fishing sign. When he did that, he's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. And so guilt, after you've confessed sin and you're still feeling guilty, well, that's false guilt. And guilt will rob you of your peace. And you need to do something about that. You need to confess unto God. Regret, would have, should have, could have, and didn't. We need to trust in the sovereignty of God. Yes, we may have missed opportunities. Yes, we may have made a wrong turn. But God has called us to press forward in him. Doubt. Some of you are letting doubt control you. Doubt over God's word. Doubt over his provisions. Well, you need to honestly look into his word. You need to look at what God has promised, what God has said. You know, a lot of times we want to have the favor of God in our life. Well, we can't possibly have the favor of God in our life if we're not the friend of God, if we're not seeking to be his friend, if we're not seeking to live under his authority. And then, of course, traditions. Traditions. We let the traditions of religion control us over and over again. I mean, we got to do it this way. This is how I used to do it. And we let those traditions box us in. And those things rob our peace. But once we have peace with God, we need to live a surrendered and obedient life unto him. We have to have constant times of coming before him. We need to surrender whatever regrets we have. We need to be like Joseph of the Old Testament. when he said, "Am I not in the place of God? Am I not where God has wanted me?" Regardless of all the turmoil and trouble that his evil brothers at one time in his life early on caused him, he responded at the end of his life, "Am I not in the place of God?" That's a peace. And we want that peace. That comes from having peace with God. So now that we have peace with God, we're ready to have the peace of God. Tranquility of mind only comes after we have that peace with God. So write this second principle down. How is this peace of God supplied then? How does it happen? Well, peace is supplied by seeking after God. Seeking after God. And that's perhaps a very good question to ask every Sunday. What are you seeking after? Are you seeking after your own pleasures, your own pursuits? Or am I seeking after God? Am I doing a little God and a little bit of me? Well, guess what? That don't work out either. I need to, it's like, you ever see somebody get in the pool and they're scared to get in the pool and they put their toe in a little bit? And they wiggle it around a little bit. And then they go down the ladder, and it takes about 20 minutes to get up to their waist, you know? I remember I had this friend, I used to go over his house, and his grandmother used to always do that. It'd take her about an hour to get in the pool. By the time she got in the pool, it started to rain, the poor lady, you know? And that's how we are sometimes with trusting God. You know, we're waiting for it to feel good. Oh, the feelings. I'm waiting for the feelings to kick in. And when the feelings kick in, then I kick in. No, it don't work like that. I don't jump in after the feelings kick in. That's not faith. The substance of faith, we know, is believing in things unseen. And we know that it's impossible to please God, we're told, without faith. So faith becomes a major part of the Spirit-led life. And seeking after God is just that. It's trusting God that He's going to provide. Even in the face of temptation, it's trusting that this is just a mere mirage of what God really wants. God wants something far better. I'm not going to settle for this. I'm not going to settle. God has something better. I'm not going to believe the lies that I need God in my life. That's what it means to seek after God. Didn't Jesus say at the application point of his very first sermon, after he spoke these amazing words, he said, but seek first what? The kingdom of heaven. Not seek it third or fourth. Seek it first. He threw it in there. Because if the Greek wordage for a numerical figure was not in there, we would find a way to categorize it. Seek God's kingdom when it's convenient. Amen. Seek God's kingdom when it works for me. Glory be to God. Seek God's kingdom when it feels good. No, seek His kingdom first above all else. And by the way, also seek His righteousness. Seek to please Him and honor Him. In all these things that Jesus spoke about, providing all these things shall be added unto you. There's a promise attached to seeking. So peace is supplied to the seeking heart. You and I need to be people who are seeking after God. You know, we're told repeatedly, seek and you shall what? Find. It can't get any clearer than that. Seek and you shall find. Seek the answers to your troubles. And if you can't find them on your own, that's why you have pastors and leaders in the church. That's why there's something called prayer, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's an amazing thing that God has left us with. We must seek after God. Now, what's a misconception about peace and how it's supplied? You know this already, but I might as well just tell you anyway. Misconception: possessions, that which I have and accumulate. Positions, that which I can ascend to, spot at work or spot in the community, and people, and throw passions in there, why don't you? These lead to peace. No, they don't. They often lead to headaches. Here's the truth. Peace is supernatural. The peace we're talking about, you cannot buy at a dealership, no matter how shiny it is, no matter how much leather it has. The peace that we're talking about is not found in Mr. Universe in a magazine or some other model. By the way, Photoshop does wonders for these models. Okay? What we have to understand is our peace is not wrapped in a human individual. It's wrapped in God Almighty. It's supernatural. That's the truth of the substance of peace. Jesus said it this way in John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, notice, in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. And look at this beautiful statement of Jesus here. Peace I leave with you. Why don't we say this part together? Oh, it's so beautiful. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Glory be to God for that statement right there. That's our faith. The Holy Spirit, let's do some homework here. The Holy Spirit, the helper in Greek, the helper means paraclete. Speaks of the supernatural assister. The assisting work, the hands of God, the Holy Spirit coming around you and I, who Jesus said has come in my name, the Father's name. He's going to help you. He's going to bring to remembrance when you get rattled and shaken, when you get prideful, whatever. You just throw it in there, okay? We don't have time to go through it all. You just throw your thing in there. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance the Word of God. Now, why is that? Well, what did the Holy Spirit do when Jesus was tempted? What did Jesus do? Did he strike a bargain in the desert with the devil? What did he do? Every time the devil opened his mouth, what did he do? He hit him with Scripture. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, he said. Thou shalt not do that. Why? Every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus hit him with Scripture. He even brought up the sonship question, if thou be the Son of God. Now, let me just make an observation that I like to make every now and then just to help us out, because a lot of us walk around with our head hung low. If he had the gall and the audacity to question the sonship of Jesus, how much more is he going to question your sonship and your daughtership with God? It's going to happen on a regular basis. And that's why you must stand firm in God. You must seek after him. And we must remember the helper is going to give us the peace. And that peace I'm leaving you, Jesus. That peace he's going to leave us. You remember sometimes certain churches growing up, there'd be a spot. This is usually the signal that get your money ready. The offering's coming. The service's getting ready to end. Let's offer, in the communion time, let's offer each other the sign of peace. Meanwhile, you hate people. You know, peace be with you. Meanwhile, you're wishing them the Milwaukee or something like that. You know, peace be with you. I can't stand this person. Peace be with you. Hope you get a flat tire. You know, and that's why, because you know that's all peace became. You know, just like yeah, whatever, peace. You know, peace with you, peace in the Middle East. You know, and there's all these the peace sign, the whole bit. We really know what peace is. Peace is seeking God. That's peace. You want peace in your life? Seek after God, and that needs to be the goal of the rest of your life. That you are someone who is seeking to live for the glory of God. You're seeking God's principles. You're seeking God's path for your life. You're seeking God's wisdom. You're seeking, and you're not going to like this, but you're seeking God's correction of your life. Why is that? Because you know what's going to happen for all of us at one point or another, young or old? At one point, the bottom's going to fall out. Sickness or trouble, whatever it may be, it's a part of life. And it's then that we need to be firm on who the rock is. It's then we need to be firm on who the source is. We don't need to start figuring it out then. We need to be able to even look death in the face with confidence, knowing that he who we worship holds tomorrow. And I'm not just talking about Monday. I'm talking about heaven. We need to have a firm faith in that. Jesus said, that's the peace I'm leaving. And you know what? He qualified it here. He said that it's not as the world gives. It's not possessions, as we said. That's a misconception. It's not position. If I can only be this. I'll be honest with you. I go through that sometimes. When I was younger, I know it's hard to believe because I'm only 5'10". I thought I was going to be 6'10 and be a basketball player. You know, my father said, listen, you're Italian. You're going to grow the other way. You're not going to grow this way. You know, you got to get over that. Yeah, I didn't listen, you know, but fact of the matter is we all have dreams and aspirations. If I can only be this, if I can only do that, if I can only know this person. And that's what our world is built on, a handshake. You know, I see that, and this is in both major political parties. I've been to events. You know, they're either cutting each other up or they thank each other left and right. I like to thank this one, and I like to thank that one. And, oh, thank you so much for this one. And this one's here. I like to recognize that one. But then if they have an issue, they start cutting that person up. That's just the way this world is. And there's such there's a lack of peace. We live in a time, a point in history where the media actually plays up differences. Because it creates an entertaining story. You know, whenever there's a storm, they even play the storm, the tornado, or this, or the hurricane. And they, you know, their late ratings go through the roof. They play up on unpeaceful circumstances. It's good for business, I guess. As you look around the world, it's actually eating at our civilization, this lack of peace talk. Our world is becoming less civil. Rudeness is on the decline, and even more hatred is on the incline. We used to just be rude. Now we're getting downright hateful to people. As you look around the world and you look at the turmoil, there's turmoil between nationalities, between races, between rich and poor, between religious groups. And then you look at home. There's trouble in marriages. There's trouble in schools. There's trouble on the job. There's trouble. Siblings. You know, some of us, we have family members. They cut you off. They never talk to you again for the rest of your life. And when's the next time you see them? At a funeral. Oh, why did we wait this long? And everybody, all of a sudden, everybody becomes spiritual for about an hour and a half. And then after the hour, I'll call you, and you never hear from anybody again. See you at the next funeral. And that pretty much governs it. And what happens? What's left in the path? The result of these conflicts is this. Debris of divided homes, damaged children, disregarded friendships, and destroyed partnerships. We need the peace of God. We need this peace that Jesus was leaving. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. 365 times in the Bible, some way or another, told not to fear. Why? Because the peace of God is there. Here's some key perspectives on this verse. First of all, we need to resist control. You'll see that there. That's the toughest part. Resist control. The Holy Spirit's in charge. Resist control. Surrender unto the Holy Spirit. Secondly, receive peace. Jesus has left it. You got to receive it. Stop pushing it away. Stop choosing more conflict on top of conflict. So many times I've done funerals, and I'll preach the funeral, and then I'll hear everybody making plans to go to a bar to get sourced up. That's adding more conflict on top of internal conflict. Never made any sense to me. Let me go try to numb the pain. No, you're adding to the pain. And that's just one of many ways that you and I add to our own conflict. We have enough conflict that comes away. We don't need to add any more. We need to receive his peace and stop choosing imitations of his peace. Because he said, it's not as the world gives. We need to refuse those imitations. So what are the peace thieves of this? The peace thieves are unconfessed sin. Sometimes I'm lacking the peace of God because there's something in my life that I got to give over to him. Could I ask you to say a dangerous prayer tonight? Because he'll answer this one. This is the prayer. Before you go to bed tonight, God, reveal to me if there is any wicked way in me. That's so good, that sounds like a Bible verse. That's because it is. Reveal in my heart, God, is there any wicked way in me? If you come back within a second and say no, you found your first one, pride. Just helping you out here. There's probably a few more after that. Fact of the matter is all of us have issues. Hypocritical ways, looking down on people, always looking at everybody else's trouble. What about my own trouble? What about my own attitude? What about my own shortcomings? What about my own speck, my own log that I need to get right with God? Self-reliance, depending on myself. I got to depend on God. That's how I'm spirit-led. And then hurting people. Hurting people hurt people. You understand that. And there might be people in your life right now. I'm not saying disregard hurting people. We got to love hurting people and help hurting people. But you may not be in a position right now to ultimately bring help to that person. Also, if that person is hurting and they're negative and they're damaging and they're trying to pull you away from God, they certainly don't need to be in your inner circle of your heart. That's going to go against seeking after God. And so then, how do we seek the peace of God ultimately then? Notice this in your outline. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. One of the most beautiful verses on peace. It's so beautiful. Another one. Let's say it together so you can memorize this. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How beautiful is that? His peace, which surpasses all human understanding, all human stupidity. Because there's a lot of that out there, isn't there? All human understanding, all human reasoning. Guess what? God is the God of the impossible. With God, all things are possible. So it's not always going to make sense. That's faith. That's the Spirit-led life. His peace will guard you. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you lock your door at night with tape? That's your lock. You don't own a lock. You have tape. Anybody tape up their door? Okay. Here's tape right here. Imagine if this was how you locked your door at night. All right. Good night, everybody. We're going to bed. Let me lock the door. Okay. Nobody's going to get in with that. All right. We're going on vacation now. We're going on for 2 weeks, so maybe I should put an extra piece there. Okay. Putting tape on your door to guard your home and guard the ones you love is the equivalent to not seeking after peace. That's what it's like. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to trust in superficial things that the moment a little bit of trouble comes, it could just like that, boom, that's it. A little water will knock this tape right down. Instead, I need to have one of these deadbolts. And this is the peace of God. This is the symbol of God's peace. That's what the word is there. It will guard. It will protect you. That's what the peace of God does. And so how do we have this prayer? Well, what is Paul telling us? How do we seek the peace of God? Write this down. By prayer. We have to be people who are praying before God. We're taught to be anxious, not to be anxious about anything. It doesn't say you will not be anxious. A lot of people like to go, oh, it's a sin to have stress. It's a sin to have anxiety. No, it's not. Sometimes when people say that, it's a sin to be that stupid, I think, when they say that. Actually, that's what I think. It's a sin to be that stupid to say that. It's not a sin to be anxious. You're going to be anxious over a lot of things, actually. However, God says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let that control you. Don't seek the pity of that anxiousness or that trouble. Rather, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. That's the key in supplication. You know, supplication is the equivalent of going to getting a petition together. You ever sign a petition? You know, you're bringing it before somebody. You know, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Notice thanksgiving. Gratitude is the enemy of depression. For every trouble you have, try to count a blessing in your life. That will help you tremendously. That helps you in your seeking after God. Paul threw it in there for a reason. And he says, and that peace of God, it's going to surpass everything. And so we need that. And then finally, write this last one down, by practice. By practice. This is what Paul says a few verses later. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Underline practice there. Practice these things. And notice, the God of peace will be with you. That's our faith, my friends. It's promised. It's guaranteed. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of your life, the end of this age. So as we pray and as we practice the faith, that is in essence seeking after God. I challenge you. You know, we're in the month of June. This is the sixth month of the year. We're at the halfway point of this year. And so this is a good time for you to evaluate your own life and see where you are with God. Perhaps you need to get right with God today, an area of your life that you need to get on point with the cross. You need to do that. Maybe something needs to be confessed over to Him. Now, it's not my job to take that out of you. That's between you and God. Church is a great place to do business with God. Maybe there's an area or a problem in your life or a struggle, whatever it may be, and you need to trust God because you need the peace of God. Do it today by prayer and by practice. The Christian life is meant to be lived out so that you could experience the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding, and the promise that was true 2,000 years ago when He rose from the dead is true this morning here today. In your life, that lo, I am with you always. The God of peace will be with you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. How many of you want the peace of God in your life? Amen. Seek after God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And let the fruit of the Spirit, Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life, that even in the most difficult of circumstances, your peace is in God. Your trust is in Him. You want to do that? Then seek after God. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your peace that surpasses all human understanding. Lord, we want your peace to guard our hearts and our lives. And we no longer want to live for ourselves. We want to live for your glory and your honor. We want to seek first your kingdom, God. Lord, we want to be right with you. If there's any wicked way in us, God, we pray that you would convict us. Any hypocritical way, any judgmental way, God. Lord, for those who are battling terminal disease today, God, Lord, they need your peace in their life, God. We pray for your comfort. You are the God of all comfort, for you to comfort them today. We pray for those who are the caretaker of a sibling or a parent or a child. We pray for our parents with children with special needs, God. Lord, we pray for our people who are disabled, Lord God. Lord, we pray for people around the world, the pastor who's suffering in the Iranian prison, Lord, with other Christians who have been beaten so bad, God. Lord, we put our trust in you, God. We see as we watch the news with every new scandal that comes out of man's government, Lord, we need to put our faith fully in you, Lord God. Lord, we pray for these folks who have endured these disasters repeatedly these last 2 weeks in Oklahoma, God. Father God, we just declare our trust and our dependence on you. And we ask for your peace. You're the God of peace. We ask for your peace in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we would not push it away, God. As your son Jesus said, I give you peace, and peace I give you. Lord, let us not settle for imitations. We thank you for the cross, where our sins were paid for in full, and peace was made possible. We thank you for the empty tomb, where eternal peace has been satisfied and guaranteed. We pray, God, that we would walk in this, that we would be led of your Spirit. We commit ourselves before you now. We commit our hearts to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we sow these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.